attention salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Agenda review. Does anybody have any changes? I see there's some additions to the finances.
Looks like we have a, yeah.
Yeah, Madam Vice President, in anticipation of only one meeting this month, we've added a number of items for the disbursement.
Thank you.
Gladly. Madam Vice President, in anticipation of only one meeting this month, we've added a number of items to the disbursements early in the month. Of course, a lot of vendors will send out their invoices at the end of the month. So we got as many as we could into the normal agenda package, but a few came in late. In total, they add up to about $88,000. The single check, that's most of that, is $81,904 for South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District for the fees that we had been collecting for them. And then there's a number of others.
Was that the September billing, Pavel?
Pardon me?
Was that the September billing?
That's correct.
Okay.
There's still a few more that have not, a few customers that have not been paid us yet, so we'll still have a little bit more money that we'll have to pay, but this will be the preponderance of what we owe the SAN district. Then in addition to that, $81,000, the remaining $7,000 was a number of relatively routine things that we see come through, including district engineer, AGP, FUGRO. The personnel concepts was for the posters that we have to put up for next year. In any case, so we've added those, and if it meets your pleasure, then in review of your consent agenda, the recommendation would be to adopt as amended. That was the conclusions of the changes that I had.
Yeah. May I ask a question about the DPSI?
Yes.
What that was regarding?
A number of items, but preponderance of the charges related to some of the new connections we had. There is charges associated with Pike Place Apartments will be passed on to. So most of that particular bill is actually going to get reimbursed from development. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Do I have a motion?
I move to approve the agenda as modified and presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
You have to announce the vote.
Oh, the vote's 4-4-1 absent or something like that.
Yeah.
The next topic is election of officers.
Actually, no, we have oh, yes, we do. I'm sorry.
So pursuant to your bylaws, this is the time for consideration of the district president and vice president. District President Lucy has attached a letter or submitted it for inclusion. And at the conclusion of your item, then, you know, the gavel for tonight's meeting may or may not change.
So I just call for motions for president, or
well, discussion, then public comment, and then motions. Yes.
Okay, public comment isn't listed, but it.
So in general, public comment is required on all items.
Okay.
And so where we have public comment identified, it's where it's the presiding officer's preference as to whether or not you want to take a group of items for public comment.
Oh,
so like
okay.
The group of consent agenda, the group of discussion items, it's your discretion. But on this particular item, you have to take specific public comment on this item.
After or before the motions are made?
Before motions.
Okay. So I would entertain board discussion.
Well, I'm curious. Karen, are you interested in being president? You are vice president.
I would be president if you wanted me to be president. I'm not soliciting it at this time.
Well, I think maybe what Jennifer's asking is usually it's sort of a rotation that ascends, and if you wanted to do it the following year and remain vice president, then we can stay status quo, of course, but...
I would be happy to serve, but I...
Nominated. All right. Would we make nominations before or after public comment? Or is it up to us?
After public comment.
All right.
I, too, would also like to see Mary stay and you stay as vice president.
That would be satisfactory for me
okay.
as well. Yeah. Okay.
That's my discussion right now. If you want to entertain public comment, that's your direction, Karen.
Okay, let's call for public comment then.
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker, and as you know, I attend a lot of meetings in a lot of places. And customarily, the gavel is passed each year to another person to give them that opportunity, especially in a CSD, or you'll see it at the Board of Supervisors. Everyone gets a chance to be in the leadership role. When you're in the city, you have a mayor, you elect them to... be the presiding officer. That's different, but the pro tem does rotate. So when I've seen districts retain their president, and Mr. Guerrero served, I think, 3 years, is when there's turmoil, when there's hot issues or things are a little bit hairy, and they want to retain or have some continuity from the next year to the next. I don't see that happening in this district. I think you do have your legs underneath you, and I would like to see the gavel be passed to Ms. White. I would like to see Jennifer be serving as the vice president. I think it would be nice to have some change, and I think it would be welcome. I think, you know, Karen's long history in the community, I think she deserves that seat. And Ms. Blackburn, if you're serving as the vice president, these are my nominations should I get to nominate. If as serving in the vice chair seat, if by chance Ms. White's not able to serve one night, you'll be able to shine, and hopefully you'll run for office in 2016. And the community can see you in a leadership role. That's really what it's all about. You're all equals as far as your voting and your ability to serve your community, but that leadership role in running the meetings shows your district, shows your community who you are and how you want to serve your public. And I think I look forward to Karen White in that seat, and again, my other nomination would be for Jennifer Blackburn as vice president.
Hi, my name is Patty. I'm from Arroyo Grande. First off, I'd like to wish everybody here a very Merry Christmas. I'd also like to say I've had the pleasure of talking to Vice President White at the Fire Authority meetings. She has come to Arroyo Grande and blessed us with her presence there. And I always find her a very calming force, very easily approachable, and I would also like to see her step up into the president role. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Hello to everyone. Shirley Gibson, Halcyon, and I live within the OCSD district. I wanted to express my support for Ms. White for president, and don't look so happy. I like the idea of rotation and moving the positions around, and I think every time you do that, it gives a fresh look to the district, and I think that helps all of us. And I also wanted to say that I really appreciate all the work of the general manager, Mr. Ogren. And I think he's really doing a great job getting us squared away. So I think that we don't always show him our support and for staff. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there any more public comment? Seeing none, comes back to the board. Would anybody like to make a motion?
I'd like to make a motion for Mary Lucy for president and Karen White for vice president.
I'll second that.
Okay. Roll call vote or general?
Any other discussion?
Oh, any other discussion? He's coaching me. Any other discussion?
Poking her with my pen.
Sorry.
I'd like to explain a little thing why I'm interested in doing this way. We've had a good year behind us, and I think the members of the boards that their offices have been diligent in all fields, you especially with the fire department. You've got a good expertise there, and I hate to see things change too far. Mary's worked very hard to get this district back into shape, along with Pavo and the rest of the board, but she's put more than her fair share of time into it, and I would like to see her go one more year with it. And I think, you know, we've got a good ball rolling, and I would like to kind of see the consistency.
More discussion?
No.
Call for a vote. I guess we had a motion and a second. Yeah, call
yes.
for the vote. Call for the question.
Director Angela?
Yes.
Director Garrow?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
Vice President White?
Yes.
You have to announce the vote.
And the election results were the president and the vice president from 2015. Mary Lucy will remain president. Karen White will remain vice president. And the vote was 4-0 with Miss Lucy absent.
Thank you for your service, everybody.
Thank you.
Especially you, Karen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No problem.
You did such a good job with the fire department, so.
Yeah.
So I get to pass the gavel to myself tonight. You know, this doesn't even have an engraving on it. It's just a cheap
just
gavel.
Just a hammer. Maybe we need a bigger one.
Maybe we got one of those tape pens, you know, that makes the labeling.
Oh, okay. Now I would call for a public comment for items not on the agenda. No public comments not on the agenda? Okay. Special presentations and report. I don't see anybody from the sheriff's office, but I do see Tony. If you'd like to come forward, please.
Good evening, Board. Tony Maricino. So as for state water deliveries year-to-date, as of the 1st, we have received 524 acre-feet of state water. Groundwater, we have pumped 131 acre-feet. Lopez is currently at 28.4% full, which is 14,036 acre-feet. We compared this past November with 2013 November for production, and we have produced 30% less water for 2015 compared to 2013. The State Water Resource Control Board, we're going to be doing a report at the end of the week, and what that's going to be comparing is the production, how much we've reduced from this year compared to 2013.
Yeah,
I believe we will have the 25%. Actually, we should be a little bit more than 25%. Just looking at November, we were at 30% reduction. As for work orders, we've had 29 USAs, 19 customer service calls, 23. We had two after hours call outs. One was for a lateral, which was an SSO incident. And it's a private lateral, but we own it from the clean out, which is at the property line to the main. There was root intrusion, approximately 20 gallons spilled, and that's already been reported. It did not make it to any surface water, no storm drains. It was just there on site. The second call out was for a customer that shut off his neighbor's meter trying to do some repairs to his house.
Got the wrong one?
You got the wrong one, yes.
Honest mistake.
It happens quite often, believe it or not.
Was this a situation where the two meters were next to each other?
Yes, a lot of Oceano has one meter box that services, you know, multiple homes. You got 2 meters in one box. and they go over there and somehow turn them both off, thinking they feed their house. But we've been really focusing on sewer cleaning. Next week, we will complete our obligation to our SSMP. We're at just over 14 miles. So we will hit that 15-mile mark and exceed it by a little bit just to be on the safe side. We've been doing equipment checks, running everything, doing a little bit of storm prep with delineation, lighting, sandbags. We completed some concrete work and a meter installation of Via Arturo. Still replacing meters. We had lock-offs. We had meter reads a couple weeks ago. Notifications for leaks, high consumptions, low consumptions. Weed abatement. Really focusing on the sewer cleaning. We installed a hydrant over there on Strandway for the new development. 1111 Strandway. That went pretty well. State reports, and then we'll just complete that State Water Resource Control Board report and see where we're at. I believe we will exceed the 25% of production that we're going to be
well
reducing.
Said. Yeah. Our community has done well.
Oh, absolutely.
I have a question. That hydrant was where?
It's on Pier and Strand, the corner.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I
brand new hydrant.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tony, I have a question. You jogged my memory when you mentioned that 20-gallon approximate spill from the tree roots that blocked the sewer.
Correct.
The spill that was around, I think it was June, that we had that you and I both went to that came from the sewer plant?
Yes.
Did we have to report on that as well, or was that
absolutely.
All? Okay.
Because it came out of our collection system.
Yes. Have we heard back anything from the State Water Board? Are we looking at any action from them?
None on our behalf right now. I have not received anything.
Okay.
No phone calls, no emails, because it initiated from...
somewhere else, right?
Yes, South County Sanitation.
Thank you, Tony. Nice haircut,
yes,
by the
Thank
way.
Thank you.
Okay. I can see Chief Liebram is not here, but would you like to give the report on the fires, or would you like me to?
I'll defer to... Your Honor.
This weekend there were several dumpster fires plus another wildland fire in the, I guess it was in the, Linda, wasn't it in your property? On the edge of the creek, transient fires and dumpster fires. The dumpster fires are real scary, and there's also been one in Arroyo Grande, because if a dumpster is up against a building and it happens in the middle of the night and nobody sees it for a while, you can lose a whole building from a dumpster fire. It happens. And the fire department responded and dealt with them and is continuing to investigate. Okay.
Can I mention something that would go to the, if they were here, the Sheriff's South Station report? Obviously, I think, I don't know if everybody knows, but the Internet Cafe was shut down for being illegal gambling.
Yeah.
This stemmed, even though there had been prior complaints going back quite a ways, this stemmed from the town hall meeting with Sheriff Parkinson and Dan Dow, and I think Ms. Compton was there also, but I didn't get to make the meeting, unfortunately, that particular time. And so the Sheriff's Department listened, and they took action, and so... I just wanted to let everybody know that that's how that originated, and I think it'll be good. It was, I think it'll be good for our community.
I was at that meeting, and there really was some loud citizen complaints about that, and I think they really got on it. I was very pleased to see that.
Sheriff Parkinson came. Well, I ran into him. He didn't come to me specifically, but I ran into him on the street, and we chit-chatted about it at length. And so, a week later, it was gone. And I'll just say, it's not just us. There were some similar businesses in Bakersfield, exact same business model, and I think it was maybe even the same owner at one point that got shut down for the same reasons.
And Napomo,
but this was in Bakersfield. And that was earlier this year. There was a Court of Appeals decision about it, and that's how some of this got generated. So.
Mr. Ogren?
Certainly, Vice President, on my verbal report, I did attend the last Zone 3 Advisory Committee meeting, which, of course, is the advisory committee to the Board of Supervisors regarding operations of Lopez Dam and our water supply from Lopez. There's a number of different update items primarily on the agenda, and not surprising, we had some good discussion on El Nino. Just a quick reminder for those who may have recently caught John Lindsay's article, depending on what kind of statistic you're looking at, this might be the strongest El Nino on record, coinciding with one of the most historic droughts we've had on record. So if we're going from one extreme to another, then we're going to be having a doozy. The anticipation of higher than average, higher than normal rainfall is for January, February, and March. I understand that we might be looking at a storm that comes in this weekend at about 1 inch. So we had a good discussion on El Nino. An update on the Diablo D-cell emergency project, which will be going back to the Board of Supervisors in January with an update. We received a letter from County Public Works, and I'll respond to that based on the August 12th agenda item that was on your board's agenda, which in general your board was thankful of the county doing the study and also paying for that study, no cost to us, Oceano or anybody, any of the other districts or cities. Your board expressed concerns about what costs might be, and I'll keep it pretty simple in the feedback, and it basically once we have cost numbers, then I'll make sure to schedule it on your agenda. If timing is fortunate, I'll make sure to get it at the first meeting so that by the time the Board of Supervisors has their meeting, we can provide some additional reply. If timing isn't that flexible, then certainly if we can, decide whether or not a special meeting is necessary. Grover and Arroyo Grande have also considered it. Pismo has decided to provide a similar reply and agendize it once they have more information as well. We also received an update on the Rio Grande Creek Habitat Conservation Plan. And the good news there is that it's progressed significantly, and County Public Works will be sitting down with the regulatory agencies to hopefully start putting final touches on it for submittal. In general, what we're hearing is some good news. But through the advisory committee, we asked for what I did is I provided some questions on about 8 different questions to the advisory committee in order to try to develop some sort of a focus of the advisory committee of what the pertinent issues. The technical advisory committee is obviously going through a lot of the details. But as an example of something that I asked for in the coming months, is simply it's a real simple illustration that shows what the historical elevations were in Lopez and what they would have been historically if operated under the HCP. And that way it's a really nice comparison of what happened versus what would have happened. Monterey County for Lake Nacimiento went through a permitting process to modify their operations of Lake Nacimiento, and that's the basic analysis that they did as well. It's always hard to predict the future because even though the past helps, it's still not an indication of the future. But that's just one example of some of the things that I want to make sure that the advisory committee is aware of. And as we proceed, then, of course, I'll update your board as well. We also talked about some of the other emergency water supplies. The technical advisory committee has created a subcommittee to do some general level alternatives analysis of other alternatives, emergency alternatives. And so when the Board of Supervisors is reconvening on the Diablo project, the basic feedback we've gotten is that a portion of that presentation will be addressing the other emergency supply options that are being reviewed by the five cities area. And I'm thinking that maybe one of our staff members from one of the cities would participate with County Public Works in that presentation to the Board of Supervisors. Lastly, with respect to relationships with the county, we had some feedback from County Public Works on the groundwater modeling efforts that really need to occur. And what they've pretty much, at a staff level, put on the table is a cost sharing of one-third, one-third, one-third. Well, the county will pay for one-third of the groundwater modeling efforts. The Napomo Mesa will pay, the NMMA, Napomo Mesa Management Area, would pay for one-third, and then NCMA would pay for one-third. In general, at a staff level, we are, in NCMA, we like that particular proposal. Haven't gotten any feedback yet from NMMA, and we'll see where that's going. But the basic idea is that the county is indicated a willingness to help fund that groundwater model, and so that's optimistic, at least. Lastly, as part of my general manager's report, I'd like to also mention that today I met at had a meeting with South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District regarding the reclamation studies, and the idea was after the investment analysis associated with the scalping plan had been looked at, there's a question of whether or not that alternatives analysis should go down the same path. At the sanitation district meeting, they asked staff to get feedback from the other agencies, so that was the purpose of the meeting. And one of the outcomes is that we want to develop objectives and strategies of how we're going to move forward, including how do we evaluate the option of doing a regional plant. And my understanding is that that was also feedback from the city of Arroyo Grande, that the city council wanted to make sure that the option of a regional plant or a sub-regional, which would be addressing the combined flows of Pismo as well as South County Sand. Just, again, as a sort of an overall characterization, I felt like the discussions were really good. Arroyo Grande, WSC was there. Of course, Sand District staff was there. I was there. But, you know, overall, in terms of the staff of the different agencies, looking at where we're at on reclamation evaluations and where we need to go, and considering both the two different projects that are on the table, I thought that the discussions were very positive. And so we're going to, at a staff level, we have some work to do in terms of trying to evaluate objectives and strategies so that we could come back to each of the agencies and talk with each of the governing boards and then be able to give the Sand District that formal input. I'm not anticipating that necessarily in January. It might be January or February for your board's review. And that concludes my staff report.
Bob, I have a question. Going back to the idea of a regional water reclamation plant, has Pismo been engaged yet? Obviously not engaged, it would be a little strong, but have they been approached about doing a regional project, because they're farther along than we are?
They couldn't attend today's meeting, and I asked that same question about because obviously we've had discussions with Pismo on their reclamation. My understanding is that part of the EIR will address, you know, a regional project.
Okay.
To what extent? Because when you do an EIR, you don't have to fully evaluate all of the different alternatives. But in essence, they're sort of going to do something in their EIR. In my discussions with Ben Fine, is that my understanding is that the EIR timetable is roughly an 18-month timetable.
Okay.
That is more than sufficient time for WSC to do their alternatives analysis. If that alternatives analysis and all the agencies getting together decide that a regional plant is what makes best sense, the scheduling is okay, because Pismo will have obviously moved very far forward on their EIR. The ability to amend or supplement it to evaluate regional will well be within scheduling possibilities. So you know, we had quite a bit of discussion on that today. But what we really think is important is not to get ahead of ourselves, to not draw any premature conclusions on what's the best approach to go. But we know that the scheduling and the timing is good any which way, you know, the four agencies collectively might want to go. The Pismo's efforts not too far ahead that it would create some, you know, really difficult complications if there had to be a modification of the path. We also talked about the redundancy project for for South County Sand. Now, that project is further ahead, and the question is, could a reclamation facility accommodate the existing flows without the need to do the redundancy project? And again, we don't want to draw any premature conclusions, but it's a very good question to put out there, because you wouldn't want to build a redundancy project and then 2 years later find out that it's obsolete because you could have dealt with it in a reclamation project.
And I've tried to get the sanitation district to take to do that analysis,
right?
Because I think that's important. Why spend $20 million twice?
So that we saw as the more challenging scheduling issue. And the basic thought there is that in developing objectives and strategies and figuring out this timing, that you know, nobody wants the sand district to spend a bunch of money and then find out that, you know, it's all for naught and it was sunk costs. So the idea is we need to work together and figure out where we're going to go with the reclamation. And one of the important points at the meeting is we said we're using the word we. It's not the Sand District. It's not AG. It's not Grover. It's not Oceano. It's we. We're all working on this collectively. Obviously, it's the Sand District's plant, but it's important. And all of the staff were very much talking about the need for us to make sure that we're on the page better than what we have been in the past, so that our dialogue with our individual, you know, elected officials from the different agencies is improved. So we took very much the we approach. But again, the idea is that none of us want to see a bunch of sunk costs into a redundancy project if that need could be separately and more cost-effectively met through a reclamation project. And that was part of the discussions that I thought was really good today, because, again, scheduling can be challenging. Mr. Clemens' concern was, of course, the regional board has an expectation that he's going to be moving forward with the redundancy project and that basically it's done by the end of this five-year permit. So what we need to do is first develop the objectives and the strategies and see where all of the governing boards sit on it. And if there might be somewhat of a, you know, slowdown on the redundancy, so the alternatives of the reclamation, then we kind of jointly have an obligation to also sit down with the regional board and explain what's going on, so that the regional board, you know, doesn't ask the Sand District or doesn't accuse the Sand District of, you know, any delays or delay tactics or anything.
I think that's the right approach.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of moving parts in there,
right.
And again, that's just a summary of how the discussion went. We covered a number of other details too, but it was really good to see, you know, everybody, you know, really developing, looking at the details, and then starting to talk about objectives and strategies and how do we all get on the same page. With the bottom line is what's the best approach, you know, for the Five Cities area, best cost-effective approach. A lot of other discussions, details as well. But again, I would anticipate coming back to your board with those objectives and strategies sometime in the late January or February timetable.
Do you know what the tenor is towards the desal option from PG&E? Because, you know, to me, there seems to be more effective uses of those resources, i.e., the reclamation and then South County here. But I don't know.
Well, my understanding from PG&E's perspective is that I haven't seen it, I'm not sure, that they've simply signed, they've entered into an agreement with the county to provide the water at a specific price. It's the county's obligation then to get all the piping and everything together so that it can be implemented. It's one of those projects where its fate may depend on what kind of rain we get this year. Reclamation is clearly many years off, and even then, once implemented, if it's for groundwater recharge, is going to take time to help with the actual recharge efforts. So if we get relief from the drought, you know, then perhaps the momentum behind the desal project might slow down. If we don't get relief from the drought, and then, you know, then there's going to be more push for the emergency side of that project. So again, I think that one's got a lot of details to discuss in the coming months and early 2016 once we have a chance to see the evaluation that the county is in the process of preparing.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey. Oh, One straggler comment. So we did get a report. State Water's allocation for 2016 right now is at 10%. Historically, they start real low. If we get some rain, we'll see. I kind of would put the odds on. It's going to get at least 20%. If it's at 20%, then we can get 100% of our supply of state water. So I'll keep your board updated as those delivery percentages change on the state water project.
Anything else?
That's it.
Okay. Board of Directors and outside committee reports. Director Angelo?
I don't have anything.
Okay. Director Blackburn?
Yes. I attended the Regional Water Quality Control Board meeting, as well as the Water Resources Advisory Committee and the IRWM, which is the Integrated Regional Water Management meeting. So I had a lot of meetings to go to. But at the IRWM, we did go through a bunch of priorities that we had created at a stakeholders meeting that we had here and grouped them together according to their issue. And we will be rating those, and they will be going out and finalized hopefully at our next meeting, which should be in February. And we'll be holding more sub-regional meetings in February as well. So that's all I have.
Thank you. Do you want to go, Matt?
There was not a South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District meeting last week. It was canceled. There will be, I expect, one next week. And I expect that we'll be addressing the Knutson report at that meeting. And that's all I have.
And I went to Zone 3 Tech, and we also discussed many of the same things that Manager Pavo discussed. And in January, I think we're going to be the first group, because our meeting is very early in January, we will be the first group to get major updates on the habitat and also the part of it, and my terminology is bad on this. The water allocation that they're looking at in connection with the habitat, the change in the releases downstream releases. So we're going to be able to get a feel for that, and that should be very interesting. I once upon a time asked a question of what happens if you have to release more water than you have, and I think that was I don't think that's logical, but I was just thinking about it, you know, because you.
Yeah, some of the existing one of the provisions of the existing water rights permit and what's expected to continue is that they will have to release whatever comes into the reservoir. I don't recall off the top of my head exactly the time period, but it's under the current permit, it's something like May through October. Any water that flows in has to be released. So when we get into low reservoir situations or low flow situations, going back to what's flowing into the dam is what's got to go out. But, you know, not a situation where if there's no water flowing in, then, you know, it could be dry. But
yeah, I was almost in jest, but I mean, I think it's going to be really interesting to see what these studies do show is. Because I can't understand why we can't mimic Mother Nature, which would have had that creek dry for months and months. But I, you know.
Yeah. There's issues, and part of the whole reason for the HCP is we build a public facility, public trust doctrine, and endangered species come into play that it's not just the municipal supplies, but it's a variety of public trust issues that have to be addressed.
Yeah.
Because it is sort of this a notion that we just need to make nature whole in a way.
Okay.
But that's not the full story. The rest of the story is public trust, endangered species, and those other obligations.
Yes.
And the point of the downstream release program, and then what is the results of that? And again, that's the changing storage levels. And so if we take that downstream release program and say that it was implemented the day that Lopez started delivering water, then how would that have affected reservoir levels historically? And that's the most succinct way of doing the comparison of historical operations versus the downstream release program that's being proposed.
Yeah. I just think it's going to be very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, okay, I see now we have public comment on special presentations and reports. Any public comment?
Julie Tacker, and first I'll say that I'm encouraged by the discussion that you had at the Sanitation District today. I don't know if it came back to your board, but the investment analysis for the scalping plant had figures of $39 million to $99 million, depending on the quality of the water for that scalping plant, and those were, you know, weren't realistic for your district, for the sanitation district, for Arroyo Grande to have to pick up. I think the regional idea is superior. I had heard, and I don't remember where, that the PISMO progress had been stalled by the floodplain and that they really don't want to build their recycled facility at their sanitation plant. Again, I don't remember where I heard that. I, too, am concerned about the investment in the redundancy project at the Sanitation District, $19 million. That board just approved a rate structure that will be a rate increase for your Sanitation District customers that will include that $19 million. And you don't want to spend it twice, just like Matt said. Something that I don't know also that happened, not this last meeting of the Sanitation District, maybe the meeting before, but your last meeting was November 10th. So sometime in the last month, Sanitation District did discuss the billing. And I don't know that you did. I missed a meeting here. And there was an offer on the table at the Sanitation District to send back to Oceano for $18,000, where you had been paid $22,000. And Mary Lucy was the representative that evening, and she forewent the offer and didn't bring that back to you. She voted to just do it the way that they ended up deciding, and that was that the Sanitation District will do the billing, and they will eventually, of course, go to the tax roll, which was going to happen also in the future anyway. But I had some concern that she didn't give you your due process in that offer was available. I think those were all of my comments. I do have concern about recycled water and any investment out of Oceano. You have the diversified water sources. You have water in storage. I don't want to see this community have to pay for any recycled water.
Thank you. Anyone else? Let's move on to the consent agenda then. Any discussion?
No. If this is the consent agenda as modified, I'd move to approve as modified. That's the modified cash disbursement.
Oh, are we supposed to have more public comment?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh. We have any? No. Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Four with one absent.
Madam Vice President, can I ask for a two-minute break on the next item? I think I have a note in my office that I need to grab.
Yes. How about a five-minute break?
Sounds good.
that President Lucy and I have switched with IRWM. I have taken on the main representative role there.
And then on Zone 1 and 1A, were you concerned about your timing on
yes,
that one?
Yes, but then I realized I was an alternate, so I should be able to make it as an alternate. So.
Okay, so the...
Unless somebody else would like to be alternate for Zone 1 and 1A, which is fine.
I usually can get to the meetings.
Yeah.
So, because they...
And sort of, you know, on a straw vote thing first, as Director Guerrero was leading us on... where might we be compelled on, or might your board be compelled on changes? The one note that I have so far is for Director Blackburn to be the primary for IRWM and President Lucy to be the alternate. And from there...
What about Sand also?
Pardon me?
I think we're always going to address NCMA and having President Lucy be the primary and me be the alternate. On NCMA. I just can't make it.
That's a second straw vote change. And on NCMA to flip-flop primary and secondary.
Yeah, she's been going, I understand, at this meeting. So.
And then Vice President White, did you mention something about Sand District? Or?
No.
Okay.
No, I was asking. I think isn't Guerrero primary and Lucy back up on Sand, or we were just switchy rooming.
If you might recall, in the Sand District, there's some code sections regarding who the appointments are. It's clear that the mayors in the cities are their presiding officers, and the discussion that we had last year is that your board is interpreting that your president is the presiding officer, and so. Even though recognizing that Director Guerrero is the one who goes most often, the interpretation of the statute is that he would be the alternate and that the president is the primary. So essentially, appointing the president is the primary for the Sand District.
Okay.
But again, Director Guerrero is...
I don't mind being appointed as the primary. I do anticipate being...
Yeah.
Sorry, Ms. Welch. I don't mind being appointed as the primary, but I think that because go ahead, Jeff's making
yes.
finger puppet moments.
I think it's most appropriate that we keep it the way it is, even if you
okay.
continue to go as the alternate.
Okay, that's fine.
Sounds fine to me. What about the Board of Directors, standing committees, and ad hoc committees?
So with respect to the standing committees on strategic planning, we really didn't have any meetings this year. But I think what we need to be doing in 2016 is taking that strategic planning group, that standing committee, and considering an expansion of it to include individuals who either reside or live in the community. And this isn't something that needs to be decided tonight, but I wanted to bring it up just as a sort of foreshadowing of a future discussion. But 2016, we're going to be addressing long-term infrastructure issues and the cost implications associated with that. And there's different alternatives on how to pursue that, and because that has bigger fiscal implications, the question is whether or not really the Strategic Planning Committee wants to engage a greater number of people from the community to participate in that committee. In general, I think that's a good idea. So it's not really changing the committee or not. It's just in 2016, with strategic planning, we're going to have to do some, real focus in on community efforts associated with, again, the long-term infrastructure. I think the other issue that we can bring up in strategic planning is our garbage, illegal dumping and everything. Because we picked up enforcement issues. In January, you should see your first hearing associated with somebody who wouldn't clean up and comply and following the district ordinance. The idea is we asked the garbage company, they did the cleanup, and then so is the lien and the assessment against the property owner That's subject to a hearing of your board. But beyond that, I think that I'd like to see more of a focus in 2016 on how to address the garbage and the illegal dumping situation. And then lastly, not listed on the assignments or the committees, because we didn't have it in 2015, but it, at your last meeting, is the slow cog sedimentation committee, where Vice President White was appointed to that particular committee. So unless there's a change to the action that was made in November, then I'll make sure to include that in 2016 assignments.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Waiting for
We don't have a union MOU negotiations in 2016 because that's a three-year agreement that will go to 2018.
Then I'll sign up for that one.
Okay.
Lori and I will lock that one down.
Then our next topic is a consideration.
Hold on, we have to vote.
Do we have to vote on this? We don't have to vote on this, do we?
Yeah, I can summarize what I've heard.
Well, no, I just make a motion. Julie, you want to say something? Yeah.
Yeah, I just... two things happened, Karen. Julie Tacker. I would have liked to have heard the staff report and the board's discussion before I made my comment, and I would like you to consider my comments when you make your motion. And but I know you did go to break, and I know Ms. Welsh didn't hear that you came back to break. She was looking for the full five minutes.
Yeah, I understood that.
So she didn't get to participate when you called for a public comment. I really think the business items, there are three of them. I have to hear Mr. Ogren's report before I could have just jumped up and made comment on all three items. Customarily, you take public comment after the board's questions, then you have public comment, then you have deliberation, and then to make a motion. Hopefully you'll consider my comments. And if I'm allowed, I'd like to do that now. With your district committees on the front page of the staff report, I don't think you need community enhancement personnel or codification committees. And then if you, I would like to see you retain finance and water/sewer committees. But I'd like to have you look in the future to open that up, to have community members be on an advisory committee to help you with the information and help you make decisions. And those would be Brown Act committees. And then my main concern, you're all doing fine on the committee assignments that you have, but my main concern is Ms. Lucy's representation at the Sanitation District. I got an email that she sent on December 1st to the sanitation, actually it was, she sent it to Pavo. It was addressed to Mr. Clemens. It was copied to all the alternates on the Sanitation District Board and to AGP Video. So it was the strangest communication. But she has a clear misunderstanding of what's going on at the Sanitation District. And I think a lot is going on at the Sanitation District, and you need someone that can really focus on what's happening there. Mr. Guerrero had a long history there. I'd like to see that be the primary attendee at the Sanitation District. And I think Jennifer would be a great alternate for the Sanitation District. I think her attention to detail and her willingness to learn makes her a good candidate for the Sanitation District.
Thank you.
Uh,
I have to say, I don't like coming to another town and saying anything of what should or shouldn't be done, but I've been going to the sanitation meeting for quite some time, and I have to agree that when Director Guerrero was there, things moved slowly. He did have a history. He knew what was going on. With Mary Lucy, I'm sad to say, it's become very contentious. She doesn't know what's gone on in the past, so she's demanding that the interim GM give her all this information now. And it's a shame. We've got a lot going on with the sanitation district. We just got through a very contentious time with the billing. I'd hope that we could all just settle this down some and really work together as the communities that are in the sanitation district. And I don't, like I said, I've had the privilege of speaking with Karen White, Director, Vice President White many times, and she seems very good at paying attention. Director Guerrero did a fabulous job there. I understand there was an issue with babysitting or something, but I'd like to see either one of those people in there, if at all possible. I find it very disturbing that Mary Lucy is texting during these meetings. I don't know who she's texting, if it's a Brown Act violation or not, but I personally cannot text and listen to what's going on at meetings. And so if you could give any help to this, Matt, if you could come back, it would be greatly appreciated. So thank you very much.
Anything else? Anyone else? Okay, then we need to make a motion.
Yes. I kind of want to address the email that was referenced during public comment from President Lucy to me with a lot of CCs. My understanding when I read through that was it was President Lucy's effort to just get in her own head and to communicate with the Sand District on the to-dos that had been discussed during the meeting and the static. And granted, the email was sort of a cryptic, you know, type of to-dos and everything, so it was a little bit hard to follow. But, and I don't know that she intended to do the broader circulation, but I think that is an example where she's putting her foot forward to try to make sure that she can follow what's been discussed at prior meetings and what the to-dos are for the sanitation district to follow up on. And granted, we know that they're in a situation where they have an interim or a temporary general manager. So there's a lot of work for the sanitation district staff to do right now when they're shorthanded. But when I read through that, I thought it was more of her effort to make some documentation of what she thought some of the to-dos were. So I didn't take it as a negative type of an email just to try to get things down. But it was kind of cryptic. I think my thoughts there is that, one is we know that the statutes provide us guidance that the presiding officer is the one who's supposed to be appointed to the Sand District. And as as our legal counsel had sort of mentioned a second ago, but I think that that message of everybody has got to apply to everybody in terms of trying to get the Sand District and to get those meetings and to get the Sand District's efforts moving forward. It's Oceano's representatives to the Sand District. It's AG's representatives to the Sand District. It's Grover's representatives to the Sand District. It's staff of all the agencies. It's the public. We all have to try to work together. As a manager, whenever I get into issues of conflict with personnel situations, my basic mantra is that each and every individual has to be willing and able to work with each and every other individual in an organization. And we do get different personalities on, you know, in staff and on governing boards, but I think the commitment that the public was speaking to and what Mary Lucy needs to do, I think is what everybody needs to do in terms of, you know, really striving to get on the same page and work together. So I just wanted to make sure to interject that comment. In terms of changes so far that I've noted from this discussion, it would be that the primary and the secondary for IRWM and Regional Water Management Group would switch so that Director Blackburn would be the primary and President Lucy would be the alternate. And for NCMA, again, the primary and the alternate to switch with Director Lucy being the primary, President Lucy being the primary, Director Guerrero being the alternate. I'll make sure to, if approved by your board, I'll add the SLOCOG sedimentation representatives as approved at your last meeting, and delete the union MOU negotiations as shown. And so those are the changes that I have so far. If there's no others, then I would recommend approval of the changes as I described and as I understand them from your board discussion.
Do we have a motion?
Yes. I'll make that motion.
Second. Roll call. Roll call vote, please. Celia.
Director Guerrero?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
Vice President White?
Yes. Vote is 4 in favor, 1 absent.
Vice President White, can I ask a staff of one thing following this?
Yes.
We've had this codification for a number of years.
I was just going to ask that.
We've never gotten it off the ground. Prior to my doing anything other than paying a bill to OCSD, there was tens of thousands of dollars that were spent in codification. We had, a couple of years ago, talked about having it reviewed and trying to bring it back, and then there was a discussion of hiring an outside company to put it all on our website and make it nice and clean, and that never got off the ground. And so I think we either need to pull the trigger or bury it. We need a fish or cut bait here because this is...
My general perspective is that the codification is a staff effort, and it's really not a committee effort. So if you were to delete it as a committee, that would make sense to me. In terms of getting the work done in 2016, in January, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about goals for 2016. And based on that discussion, it may or may not be in the 2016 goals. But I don't want to dismiss it too much because it is a work effort that we do need to get to. And the reason why I say it's primarily a staff effort, it's because it's taking the actions that were previously adopted by board and compiling them into a document.
Mm-hmm. And I don't discount the value of doing it, but it just we've been talking about it.
So here's the example.
For 8 years.
When the state of California adopts an assembly bill or a Senate bill, and then it gets incorporated into government codes or water codes or the penal code or whatever it gets incorporated into, those codes don't go back to the state legislature for some sort of subsequent ratification. It's the expectation that the attorneys take the work product of the assembly bills and the Senate bills, or in your board situation, your resolutions and ordinances, and compile them into a code that, meets meets the legal standards of what your board adopted. So certainly legal counsel Minnery and I have talked about this and the need to be able to move forward on it, and that still stands there. January, we'll talk about priorities and whether we think we can get it into 2016 work effort. But in turn, there's not a policy implication for it. So to have a committee to review it, I just don't see the importance there. So on that point, then, if you want to delete it, then I think a subsequent motion and action would be appropriate at this time.
I entertain a motion.
I'd move to remove the codification as an ad hoc committee of the Oceanic Community Services District.
I second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? 4-0 with 1 absent.
On item 9B, which is an intent to serve letter for Carlos Castaneda on 16th Street, most of the intent to serve letters are on your consent agenda. This one I wanted to put on the discussion simply because it's a unique situation where they don't actually have a land development proposal. They're just doing a lot split. And in the staff report, I had mentioned some of the conversations with county planning and their desire for an intent to serve letter. I talked with the representative of the landowner yesterday because she wanted to know whether she should come out to the meeting. And I said, well, the only reason I actually put it on the business item rather than the consent is a little bit of the global policy issue. Because if it's not triggering fees right now and there's not an actual development project being proposed, the question really becomes, does it require board action? Lacking any resolution or a policy that would authorize me to sign this type of an item, I'm bringing it forward to your board. To me, there's absolutely no issues with the request as is. I was actually a little bit surprised that county planning took the position that they wanted to know that there was going to be adequate water, because codes, and I think they can't, there's a AB 610 and another code out there, and I can't cite the references, but I can definitely cite the substance, which is that subdivisions that are greater than about 300 units or 350 units or greater than like 10% of a water, there's some rules in there, those require an analysis for a positive determination that there's an adequate water supply for at least 20 years. A two-lot subdivision does not even come close to that threshold. So I was, you know, again, a little bit surprised that the county was demanding an intent to serve letter here. My guess is it's probably new staff working through an understanding of some of those details. And I didn't want to hold up the property owner, so I got it, you know, on your board's agenda rather than any more back and forth with county planning. So I don't. There's no issues that we see with the approval of this intent to serve letter. The only question is when we get to future agenda items, whether or not you want to add a future agenda, entertain the idea of delegating an authority to me to just administratively handle these types of items. So with that, that concludes my discussion on this item.
I think a future agenda item sometime when we're a little, when our agenda might be a little light to put that on, because I was thinking it's kind of, I read this several times, you've kind of certainly made it so whatever happens, we are protected. And I wonder if we shouldn't have a little kind of a side policy on what to do, because if the county's going to do this some more, then we're going to have to act some more. So we need to make it administrative.
That's what my thoughts were.
Yeah. Yeah, I would support that.
I would also.
Anybody else?
Yeah.
I'd agree.
And do we have a motion? Do we need a, we need a motion?
So on this particular item, I would recommend approval of staff recommendations. Entertain any public comment. It's your discretion, really.
I can't comment on this because it's right across the street from one of my parcels.
So you have to recuse yourself, Ms. Angela? Mm-hmm.
Okay. Generally speaking, as guidance, when we need to recuse ourselves, you want to do it at the beginning of the item and then step away from the room?
Do I have a motion?
Yeah, I move staff recommendation.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 I did appreciate the letter. It was very informative.
Let's see. The vote was 3-4, one recused and one absent.
Yes.
Move on to...
So item number 9C is the consideration of deletion of the positions of office manager and district accountant, the creation of a business and accounting manager career series 1, 2, and 3, and salary range. And then third is a contract amendment so that that action is essentially cost neutral to the district. And we discussed this in the meeting in October 14th when the MOU was provided. And so I have now prepared job descriptions and salary ranges based on the information previously provided and discussed with your board. At that meeting in October, you know, as is explained here too, there's different provisions of my contract, severance, term of contract, salary. Without any specific direction from your board in October, what I just came up with was a recommendation for it to be cost neutral. and I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Any comments?
Well, I'm just doing the math right now. So the difference, if we brought in a business and accounting manager too versus the former office manager salary that would have been on July 1st is $3,185, $3,200.
Were you doing that based on the highest step in the salary?
No, the middle step.
Middle step?
Yeah.
So, you know what, I would, I don't know where we would hire at because it's all going to depend on
right.
who the candidates are. My intent would be to advertise at the 2 and 3 level. I would not, you know, given all the work that we have in front of us, it would not be my intent to hire at the business and accounting manager 1 level. You know, in some ways, that's essentially your brand new college graduate or something.
Right. And that's how long has the position been open?
Since the 1st of July. The vacancy?
How long have we had a vacancy here at the district?
Yeah, since the 1st of July.
So it's almost 6 months.
Yeah.
So there's six. I know the staff's been working hard, very hard. I don't know. I'm just looking at the proposal of $72,000, which is the second step. And the anticipated salary, what would have been on July 1st, although we wouldn't have paid at that point a whole year's salary. Not that actually that's not really a relevant consideration because the position's only been open for 6 months, but it's a $3,200 difference.
So the reason I put July 21st, 2016 in my recommendation is one is that happens to be my anniversary date. But the second is that even if we start the recruitment process now, it's really going to be until July before the person is really strong and running, you know, because there's going to be quite some time to do training and everything else like that. So for the current fiscal year, the salary savings are going to cover, you know, basically whatever additional costs we have.
And there's a variety of options, of course, too. You could have a probationary period with a salary increase afterwards.
Yeah. The reason why I'm putting forth the recommendations is because I just, you know, based on my most sincere evaluation, this change to the business and accounting manager position is extremely important for this district. That, you know, before we had 2 management positions that were supervising 2 non-management positions,
right.
That doesn't make sense. And based on my judgment of workloads, not today because we still have a lot of work to do to make sure administrative and fiscal and all of our internal business practices are straightened out. You know, again, we have a lot of work to do in Oceano. I don't think that anybody would be surprised by that statement. But this position itself is one that is going to provide a lot of long-term cost savings for the district. On the one hand, I think that it's a very important move. We have a vacancy, so we have an opportunity right now to make the organizational changes. And then that's recommendation 1 and 2. And then recommendation 3 is just recognizing the discussion of when I was originally hired. So, you know, again, I think that this is an important move for the district.
I'm curious, is it your intent to bring the numbers, the final numbers and changes back to us for review? Or would it be handled under this motion as recommended?
You mean for the contract amendment?
Yes.
It would be handled under this motion. Basically, it's the biweekly pay that is the determinant of what I would then end up getting. That if the new employee's biweekly pay is less than how it's described, then there's no adjustment in my pay. If it's greater than that, then it needs to be cost neutral. The idea is recommendation 3 means it's either cost neutral to the district or a cost savings to the district on the short term. On the long term, it's just going to be a cost savings to the district.
Okay.
I'm uncomfortable tying the hiring in with a change to your particular salary. I don't want somebody to claim that there was a conflict because one candidate would work for less money and therefore Pablo keeps his salary versus somebody that might be better qualified for whatever reason, and then it could turn into a situation. So I hate to tie somebody getting hired to a personal benefit or something to you, and that's why I'm uncomfortable, and that's why when I look at a $3,200 cost difference at $72,000, it's not a significant amount of money, really, in my opinion.
So, Vice President White, if you were inclined to take public comment on this item, this would probably be a good time to do so.
Yes, I will take public comment on this item.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I think combining the positions makes sense. I think I'm worried about Pavo. Not so much that he's going to starve if you reduce his salary, but what I don't see here is like a real contract amendment. I would have thought we would have, incorporated into your contract. This is sort of, I was looking for something else. What is in his contract is the ability to work outside the district, as long as it doesn't conflict with his work at the district. And certainly this new person is going to free you up to do other things. I'm curious if you have other interests and if you are going to take up consulting or go on the road like Bill Clinton and give speeches for hire, $100,000 a speech or something. I don't know. Just what else would you want to do? Because I know you could diversify and do more things. Coming down to the lower salary makes all the sense in the world, because you'll be just a general manager, but you'll also be doing the training of one person in a new job, it's a whole new thing. It's not something you've kind of done it before in the past. But really my concern is, what's Pavel going to do with his free time? And, I wouldn't want to see it conflict. I wouldn't want to see it take him away if that's the direction he wants to go. I mean, it's really, he's your guy. And I heard apprehension in Matt in that, you didn't want to change anything, but you needed to fill this position. So, again, I'd like to see how it affects the contract.
Kind of interesting. I guess I had totally forgotten that my contract actually gave me the ability to work outside and do other things. I do not know when I would actually find the time to do that. The reality is I have no interest in doing that. It's simply not something that I have the time or the desire to do. So if we amend the contract to delete that right, I would certainly be fine with that provision. I think on the question of my time, one of the things that I want to make sure to point out is that my contract includes accounting responsibilities, and those would not go away. I would still have those fiduciary duties. I would be working with the business and accounting manager who would have, the preponderance of the district's day-to-day accounting responsibilities. But based on my professional experience, there is nothing here that would relieve me of those overarching fiduciary duties to the district. Granted, somebody else would be coming in and doing, much more of the higher level accounting work. Your board really has a couple of different options. I think that the need to move forward with the job description and the salary range and start the recruitment for the business and accounting manager position is of the utmost importance. I think that the third recommendation provides sufficient guidance for a contract amendment. But on the other hand, that could come back to your board at a future time, too. It's not required to do a contract amendment with me. So, of course, if you choose not to change it, that I would be fine with that as well. I just felt like the integrity of the issue and the discussions that we had when I was hired and the fiscal implications, it was important for me to put this on the table. But again, my primary focus right now is that we need to get going with the job description, the salary, and start the recruitment for the business and accounting manager position. And if your board wants to continue the discussion with what to do about me, you certainly have the parameters of what I'm willing to consider, which is a cost-neutral approach.
And I just want to make one quick comment in regards to the process of this as a amendment. This is a very discreet way to amend his contract. Your board certainly can go about it in this way. It's as simple as the fact that general manager's contract now provides certain step increases on an annual basis. We don't need to bring that back to the board. It's an easy calculation. And so amending the contract in this type of a discreet way with these specific parameters is not an issue, so I wouldn't get hung up on that technicality.
Well, and I think it's consideration. There's value to asking Paavo not to get $100,000 speeches. Although if you do, I'd like to get in on that gig too. I'll do it for half that price.
Well, I'm not going to have any free time with this move. What it does is it helps the district move forward quicker because we're going to have somebody who's at a higher level,
right?
You know, and the accounting issues. Does that mean that the time will be freed up to tackle the codification in 2016? You know, I'm not sure, but what it's going to mean is we're going to be able to tackle more higher priorities in 2016 than we would otherwise.
Well, I'll state for the rest of the board and the public, I am behind the recommendation for combining the position, for bringing this level of employee on. That's one of the reasons we hired you and pay you more than anybody else. But I like the forward thinking and the direction that the district is going. I do appreciate your integrity discussion because I think that it's better for the board to make that as a policy decision rather than being attacked. And so I do recognize, though, from this proposed salary schedule, which I do think we will get significant qualified candidates, or at least that's my hope and belief, that we can find somebody. And even at that step two, it's really not a significant amount of money. At $3,200 over the year from what we've already saved throughout this year, not paying that salary for this last 6 months, it would take 10 years almost to make up that difference just on that level if you do the math that way. And if you paid the highest salary that's recommended, it takes a couple of years to catch up. But I don't think anybody's anticipating, unless we find the ideal candidate, paying that much money. But so those are my thoughts.
I can only think of about three people in this county who would warrant getting that high a salary, and I wouldn't anticipate any of them would apply. Right. I mean, we do have, you know, there's a number of people with other CSDs as well as a couple of the people who administer special districts at the county who are extremely high-level fiscal managers and know business accounting practices very well. But they're also in very good jobs right now, so...
Right.
You know, I think that it does provide a very good salary, and it provides good upward mobility for the type of candidates that, you know, that we should be seeking to fill the position.
Plus, the salaries on here are high end, right?
At step five, the highest end.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. And so that's tied to what's called the administrative services manager position at the county. I had put some comparisons on the private side. But really, that's the job that is very much scoped there for doing what you know, we need to do here.
Would you be, or can we come back to the discussion of how, like, number three recommendation, and come back to it as we move forward, or maybe even after we have hired someone and figure out how we might want to do that?
Yeah, and if your board was inclined to adopt recommendations 1, 2, defer on number 3, I'll simply give an update during my general manager's report at every meeting on where we stand on the recruitment, and then your board can decide under future agenda items if and when you want to schedule it. But because it is a contract, you know, the idea is that this recommendation is basically my offer to amend my contract, and that will just stay open then.
And I think that we've definitely evolved, and our understandings and our needs as a district have evolved in this last, what have you been here, a year and a half?
Almost, yeah.
Almost a year and a half, yeah. And they've definitely evolved. One of the problems that, I mean, a little for my own history, going back to 2011, January 2011, when I first came on almost 5 years ago, we didn't know what we didn't know. And we were in shambles in a lot of things. And so as we learn and evolve, our understandings and our needs change. And I think that we see that here with you, and you identify this. But I don't think, nobody has made any comments to me that you're not performing. And so I hate to take what could be seen as a punitive action for somebody that's performing well. Then I'll stop with my public performance evaluation, but I think that you're performing well, and we are, in such a much stronger position than we were 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, or 4 years ago, or, you know. So anyway, yeah, and every month, yeah, like Vice President White says, every month I feel like we get stronger and stronger, and my understanding changes. When you came on board, I felt like we went from junior high school to college level analysis and approach to problems. So anyway, that's why I think we should approve 1 and 2, and we can readdress at another time 3 if we...
Is that in the form of a motion?
That is. That would be my motion.
No, I'll second that.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
4-0. 1 absent.
Well, I appreciate your comments, Director Guerrero, and based on this discussion, I'll make sure to provide updates through my general manager's report as we proceed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for all the work that went into this.
I read it a few times just to make sure. I had to really digest this for a while.
Okay, I see the clock says 8 o'clock. Are we
so close session?
Did you want to just skip ahead, Vice President White, and handle future agenda items,
yes,
or future hearing,
yes,
items before,
yes,
we go to closed session?
Yes. First of all, we have no hearing items. Then future agenda items. And I see that, well, if the important thing is, I guess we have to cancel our regular meeting of December 23rd.
You don't have to cancel it, but it's certainly the recommendation.
As a board vice chair, I will make a recommendation that we cancel the regular meeting of December 23rd, 2015.
I would urge, that. Make sure to take, since this has not already been addressed by public comment.
Oh, we can't.
Because there's an action item, you'll want to make sure to take public comment before acting.
Oh. Public comment's been received.
Public comment's been received. Yes. And I think it would be a hardship on the staff to have a meeting on that night, and I think it might be a hardship on the board.
Yeah.
Although, but we could move it to the 24th.
I won't be here. Move it to Christmas.
So
8:30.
Do we have a motion and a second on the?
Yeah, I'll make the motion to cancel the regular meeting of December 23rd.
Already made it.
Oh,
yeah,
I'll second. Jennifer beat me to it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Karen made
Go ahead.
Jennifer seconded it.
Yes.
And Jennifer seconded it.
Ms. Blackburn.
Question? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
And on future agenda items, the one thing that I am a little bit lagging on, which is the update on future agenda items. But I think really what we will, I'm going to sort of turn the attention to is in January we'll be establishing the 2016 goals. For the first half of 2015, we were meeting goals pretty well. In the second half, with losing, you know, having two vacancies out of seven positions, it certainly had an impact. Thankfully, we tackled some of our most significant goals earlier in the year before the vacancies happened. Just as a matter of sort of default strategy, in addition to turning more focus on the human resources and the organizational actions, which were the subject of 9C, with the vacancies in the office, and thanks to a lot of assistance from Celia, you know, we've changed focus in the second half to more of the internal business practices and the procedures and accounts payable and the cross-training. So I'll make sure to be able to discuss, you know, what happened in the second half of 2016 in January when we're talking about setting 2016 goals as well.
Thank you. Is there anything else on future agendas? I have nothing. Okay. Future hearing items, is there anything?
Didn't you say there was a hearing coming up regarding trash on somebody's property?
Oh, yeah.
So the way that the ordinance works is that if there is trash sitting in an alley, we have to post. The property owner is supposed to clean up. If they don't clean up within 10 days, we can have it cleaned up, and then the property owner is supposed to pay for it. So now we're going to be taking the next steps of sending the invoice. We're anticipating that they're not going to pay. If they don't pay, then we have to go into the hearing in order to place the lien on the property. So I'm anticipating a hearing on that in the near future. There's always the possibility we send them the invoice and they pay it. I'm just not anticipating that based on the discussions we've had with the property owner. So I do think we'll have a lien hearing.
Can I ask, is it a property that it was not their garbage? It was dumped on their property?
That is part of what the property owner's position is. That is correct.
That'll be an interesting issue. Applause, Jeff, because I think the remedy for them would be to call the county. And I don't think the remedy is not paying or ignoring it. I think they have a different remedy. And I don't know what it is, but I think they have to call the county and make a complaint about people dumping.
I'm a little bit uncomfortable getting too much into a discussion.
Okay, I'm asking Jeff for future, right. So we'll know what.
And those are the issues we'll make sure to address.
Yeah.
Thank you. Jeff,
would you like to take public comment on closed session before we?
Yeah. No closed session.
Okay. Okay.
No comment.
Okay. Okay, then the board will adjourn to closed session pursuant to Government Code 54956.9A. This is conference with legal counsel regarding the Santa Maria Valley Water Conservation District versus City of Santa Maria et al.